Brother Derek did a tremendous job in Sunday school this morning on starting the new year out right. And I also would like to amen and put an exclamation point on that in the message this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And give me your attention, please. All kids, listen now. Everybody listen. Everybody listen. Give me your attention. 1 Timothy chapter 4. This is a chapter that talks about the last days. And the Bible said in verse 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits," that's demonic spirits, "and doctrines of devils," or demons. And we know that's happening today. And he goes on to tell you what all is going on. Now, I'm going to be a good preacher today. Look at verse 6. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister. You know how you can be a good minister? Remind people of these things that God told them about. Nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Now, verse 11. These things command and teach. Boy, that sounds like with authority, don't it? He told Timothy, command these things. A preacher ought to do that once in a while. Give you the commandments that the Lord has given. Okay? Now, verse 13. Till I come, this is Paul to Timothy, give attendance to reading. Give attendance to reading. Reading. Wonder what he was talking about reading. Woman's Day. Newsweek. I doubt it. There wasn't no such thing then. Somebody tell me, what was he about reading? The Scripture. The Scriptures. Neglect not the gift that is in thee. Verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Just for a few minutes this morning, I want to talk about how to start off the new year right. How to start off the new year right. I'm glad there is a new year. I'm glad there's a time when we can just sort of get a big deep breath, take stock of our lives, wipe the slate clean, and start all over again. A person don't have to, as he said in Sunday school, you don't have to wait till New Year's to do this, but I really am glad. New Year's is refreshing to me. I think, all right, going to do this, going to do that, we're not going to do this, we're not going to do that. Listen, boys, listen to me. And you can start all over. You can start all over again being New Year's Day. Now, I want to say a few things that we're going to start off right in tomorrow morning, Lord willing. And the first one I'm going to talk about is in our Bible reading. In our Bible reading, here we go again, brand new year. You've got a chance to read the Bible in 2007. If the Lord will and the Lord don't come, we are going to get a chance to begin tomorrow morning and read the Bible through. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. You say, boy, that's a long way through that Bible, preacher. The average American watches television 22 enough times in a year to read the Bible through 22 times. I said, the average person watches enough television to read the whole Bible through 22 times. So if you'd cut out 1/10 of your TV time, you could read the Bible through twice next year. Only 1/10. Reckon you could cut down 1/10 of your TV? Listen to me, folks. Now, I want everybody to settle down. Don't nobody else get up. Please, please, everybody sit down. It's very distracting on people trying to listen. I don't mean to be mean. I'm trying to keep you from being mean. It is extremely important to read the Word of God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word of God shall man live. So we need to understand, we need to read the Bible. The good ship Earth came with a book of instructions, and I've got a copy of it right here this morning, the King James Bible. You realize this morning the liberals and the people up in the press and the people on ABC News and NBC News and CNN and all those places, they look at it like this. They say there is no such thing as a final authority. There is no such thing as a Bible we can trust in. But you realize that 90% of our Constitution Constitution of the United States comes based upon teachings right out of this book right here. This is the book that's above all other books. There's in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, there are 66 chapters in the book of Isaiah. 66. That is a picture of the Bible. Somebody said the Catholic Bible has books that ours don't have. You know why? It's got books it ain't supposed to have. I'm telling you this morning, there are 66 books in the Bible, and these 66 books represent the Bible. There's a division between 39 and 27, and 39 and 27 is the same division as Old Testament and New Testament. There are 39 books in the Old Testament. There are 27 books in the New Testament. There is a marked division in Isaiah 39, from 39 to 27, and right after that, it makes people think there's two different Isaiahs. The mark is so remarkable. And so the book is perfect. In Genesis 5:24, there's a man by the name of Enoch, and the Bible said, Enoch walked with God and was not. He disappeared. And you know what happened? 42 verses later, the flood came. The flood is a picture of the judgment of God. 42 is a number of the great tribulation. 3 1/2 years, 42 months. You cannot by accident. The book of Job has 42 chapters. Job is a picture of the Jews being in tribulation for 42 months in the book of Revelation. It all ties together. The New Testament, the Old Testament's a New Testament concealed. A New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. You say, well, how do you learn all that stuff, preacher? It sure ain't by watching TV for enough to read it through 22 times. You've got to read your Bible. Read your Bible. If you'll read this Bible, God will speak to you. If you'll read this Bible, God will give you instruction. If you'll read this Bible, God will give you more understanding than your teacher. The Bible is not outmoded. It's outstanding. The Bible is not obsolete. It's absolute. The Bible is not discredited. It's just disregarded. It outshines, outlasts, outranks, outlives, outweighs, outsells all the other books put together. It's the Word of the living God, and it's still the world's bestseller, and it's still God's book, and it'll get us through the year 2007. It's the most feared book in the world. It's the most revered book in the world. It's the most loved book in the world. It's the most hated book in the world. The book that I have right here. You like to read good thrillers? There ain't nothing more thrilling. You read the book of Revelation and you'll find something thrilling. I was telling somebody the other day, over there in Revelation 9, it talked about light, bright lamp, light falling from heaven. You talk about UFOs. You talk about invasion from space. You talk about, wow, nothing's more thrilling than reading it right here in the Word of God. If you like, you need a marriage counselor this morning, the greatest marriage is right here on this pulpit. If every married couple would do what this Bible says and just do it and believe it, there would be no divorces. There would be no problems in marriage. All it says, husband, love your wife enough to die for her, and wives, and submit and respect your husband. Everybody do that, but everybody wants a way around that and still be happy. I'm going to tell you something, brother. Listen, this is the book on marriage. You want a book on history? Best history book in the world. It tells us where we come from. Goes all the way back to God in the beginning. There ain't a history book in the library over there that goes back any further than that. I'm telling you, it goes back to the beginning. As a matter of fact, them Jews, you can trace them all the way back. Do you realize this morning that the Jews, you want to prove the Bible's true? The Jews are the only nation in the world that can trace back to their first ancestor. Abraham. Abraham was the first Jew. Ask a Spaniard who the first Spaniard was. Ask a German who the first German was. They don't know. Ask a Russian who the first Russian was. But every Jew in North Carolina knows who the first Jew was. Abraham. How do you explain that? That's the only nation in the world can trace back. I mean, and they got it from him right on down, brother. I mean, there is no other book like this book. There's no other book like the book that we hold this morning. Those Jews, you know how you know the Bible's true? Because every writer in the Bible, with the possible exception of one, but every writer in the Bible was Jewish, and they wrote it against themselves. Them writers in the Koran didn't get in there and criticize Muslims. This thing is anti-Jewish all the way through. Now, I'm not talking about being an anti-Semitic, hating somebody because of you. This book writes, the Jews persecuted him. The Jews had him delivered. The Jews rejected him.
They wrote it, and it's against herself. That's proof God wrote this book. That's proof it's inspired by God. That's proof that the Lord had His hand on this book. Amen. There is no other book like it. Now listen, you can read 3 chapters in the Old Testament. You can read 2 chapters in the New Testament and read your whole Bible through next year in the New Test-wise and have days left over. I did it this year. I do it every year. I just finished my New Testament the other day for the second time this year, and that makes about 65 times I've read my New Testament. I finished my Old Testament the other day. It makes around 27 times that I've read the New Old Testament, not counting my regular studies. I read the Bible every morning, every day of my life. You know why? Because you've got to have this. You say, well, you sure ain't much. Think how bad I'd be if I didn't read the Bible. Lord, have mercy, brother. I'm telling you this morning, it's the book of all books, and I'm about ready to take a running fit. Will you pray for me? I'm telling you, this is the book, brother. This isn't the book that men made. This is the book that makes men. Our country's built off what this book said. It's what sustains us. America's not great because we got some resources. America is great because our fathers built their beliefs in the Word of God and what this book says right here. Hallelujah for the Bible, people. Let's read it through in 2007. Read that thing. You say, well, every year I start. Well, start again. New Year's are for. Don't get discouraged. You can read 3 chapters a day and read it through next year. Read it through. Every single word of the Bible, brother. Make sure, listen, we need to start off right this morning in reading the Word of God. You can't read a 30-minute sermon's too long for you, but you'll substitute a 300-column newspaper for it. You want a book on raising children? Best one they are. You want a book on finances? Larry Burkett can't touch it with a 35,000-foot pole. I'm telling you what, brother. Listen, you want a book on food? Somebody said, well, order me a book on nourishment and tell me what I should eat. Bible tells you what you should eat, how a Christian should eat. You want a science book? You like love stories? Why, there's no greater love story book in the world than this one right here. All romance, all the suspense, all the plots are right here in the King James Bible. You hold past, present, and future. They ain't another book in the world got the future in it like that book has. Don't neglect it this year. 2007. Decide right now. I can read 3 chapters a day. Lord, if you miss a day, you can catch up. I read my Bible every day this year, and thank God for it. I'm proud to say it. I'm glad I can stand up here tonight with a long line of folks and say hallelujah. I want to start off again tomorrow morning and 07 and reading the Word of God. Let me say secondly this morning. Let me hurry. What about our church attendance? The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 that we are not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Now look up here at me. You know who will take this the most? The ones that get the least. I've noticed a strange thing. Sometimes I hesitate to preach real hard because the people that are really dedicated feel guilty and come to the altar, and the rest of the folks just sit there like, duh, you know, like that one. And I'm going to tell you something this morning, brother. What about our church attendance? Everybody listen to me just a minute. God does care if you come to church. God, it is important to come to the house of God. We have 4 times a week that'll set up here at this church to feed your soul. Not counting revivals, not counting our radio ministry, not counting soul winning, visitation, bus ministry, all that stuff. We have 4 times a week that you can get your soul ministered to and your children can learn the Bible. That's 10 o'clock Sunday morning, 11 o'clock Sunday morning, and 6 o'clock Sunday evening, and 7 o'clock on Wednesdays. That's our set schedule. It is not right. It is not right for you to deliberately forsake any of those meetings. I'm telling you this morning, you're messing up. You're making a big mistake. I love you. Lord knows I love y'all. I consider it an honor to be your pastor. I'm not worthy to be your pastor. I am honored that anybody walk in here and hear me preach. I love you and I thank God for you. But I'm going to tell you this morning, some of y'all better jerk up on it, on your church attendance. You have got a habit of missing Sunday school. It's just a habit. You say,
Well, Brother Danny, it's 10 o'clock. It's awful early. Well, I hope you don't ever get a job, for heaven's sake. If you can't get up and make it church by 10 o'clock, it's just the devil cheating you out of it. Somehow another think, I'll just mosey on in at 11. And we have people get here at 25 after 11 and leave at 12. Takes 2 hours to get ready. Now, explain that. I'm telling you what, brother, that's crazy. You need to get in Sunday school. Now, if you're sitting there saying, I know he's saying that because of me, you are listening to the devil because I ain't saying it because of you. Lord laid this on my heart. And I'm going to say it this morning. Sunday school is important. Sunday school is a part of our heritage. You say, well, I don't know all the Bible. Well, come and we'll let you be the teacher. We'll sit down and listen to you if you know it all. And if you don't, you need to be here in Sunday school. Say amen right there. Amen. Come on now. Amen, brother. I'm telling you this morning, brother, if you let one thing keep you out this Sunday, you'll let something else keep you out next Sunday. And something else the next Sunday. And something else the next Sunday. And something else the next Sunday. I hope in 2007 we'll get in here for Sunday school. I wonder how come I can always know before I get here who ain't going to be here and who's going to be late. How do I always know that? I love you and I don't want to fuss at you, but I guess I am. I guess you need it this morning. I guess I need to do it. I left here Wednesday night. I had a good service Wednesday night. I went over the past year, and I told what all God had done in the past year. And I told what the Lord had done to our church in the last year, and boy, it was a blessing. Did you know that me personally, have seen 247 people saved this year? What a blessing. I went back on my calendar. That's just the one I kept. And that's me personally, at the altar. Not this in another church. I preached in 23, 4, 5, 8. 28 places besides here. I've traveled thousands, 50, 60,000 miles. I burnt the roads up this year. Lord blessed our church. We have had a wonderful year. We have seen more people saved this year than any other. I bragged on our church. And then Wednesday night, you know, the crowd was small. And we had it sort of like, I hate to say that, but many of you were not here Wednesday night. And I was making excuses for you. I really was. I was taking up for you. Something said, now the Lord's not going to be pleased with that. And I said, Lord, don't be mad at them. It's Christmas. And Lord, they have to go to see their family. And Lord, they have to, some of them had to work, Lord, and some of them's tired, and some of them's sick, and Lord, I think all of our people would have been there if they could have, and Lord, I was making excuses for you to the Lord. I was taking up for you so the Lord wouldn't get you and hurt you, and I was taking up for you. I really was. I said, Lord, don't be mad at them. It's Christmas. Lay up, you know, take easy. And I went by a bingo place up there. About that time I looked, and there was that bingo place where that little church used to be. You couldn't get another car in the parking lot. And I said, reckon they didn't have to go see their boat? Reckon none of their kids wasn't sick? Lord, it's quieter than a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving evening in here. And I thought, reckon none of them people had to work? Reckon none of them people had to go to grandma's for dinner? And I started getting mad. Here I was taking up for you. Lord, don't get on them. Lord, please, don't judge them. And I said, get them, Lord. No, I didn't. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Now, the truth is tonight, this morning, and tonight, and tomorrow night, and the next day, if you want to be here, by the grace of God, you ought to get up and come on to church. You can visit Mama on Thursday. You can admit, now look, if you're real sick, if your kids, I mean, you know, I don't want people coming in here throwing up and stuff. It stinks bad enough in here already. But listen, I'm telling you something, buddy. Listen, if you're bad off sick, I understand that. If you have to work, I understand that. But I bet you there's 50 of you folks here this morning. I bet you there's 50 of you that could have been here Wednesday night and you chose not to and blamed it on the holidays. That ain't right. That ain't right. You say, Brother Danny, you're hurting my feelings. Well, you hurt mine. We're even. If I can have surgery Tuesday and then cut my leg in three pieces, and I'll be here Wednesday night by the grace of God, the Lord will let me. If I can do that, surely you can blow your nose twice while you're sitting here. Or flip a booger on that person next to you and tell them to wake up. You say, well, Brother Danny, you're talking bad about me. Listen. Hard preaching ain't never hurt nobody. That's good for you. I love you. And I love you whether you come or not. But listen, you'd do a lot better in 2007 say, hey, I'm going to get up and go to church. Amen. Heard about this fella. He's all talking about, you talking about people hurting your feelings? This guy, his daddy and mama, he was born and his daddy named him Odd. Odd. ODD, odd. That was his name, for real. They thought it was a cool name. He got kidded his whole life. They made fun of. People laughed at him. They made fun of him. They called him everything in the world. Odd, odd, odd. And boy, he made up his mind. He said, when I grow up, he said, I don't ever want to hear that again. Ever, ever. All his life been called odd. And you know what? He finally, when he's getting ready to die, he said, look. He said, I don't want you to put that on my tombstone. I've been called that my whole life. For heaven's sake, after I'm dead, I don't want nobody saying it. And so he said, don't you just put a tombstone up and bury me. So they did it. He died, and they put him up a tombstone, just a rock right there. About that time, two people come by and said, isn't that odd? I mean, they wouldn't even leave a poor fellow alone after he's dead. I'm going to tell you something, brother. I'm going to haunt you after you're dead. You know that? That's right, brother. I hope if you lay out of church this year that you'll see my finger pointing at you. Now listen, I'm not crazy. Sometimes you can't. I understand that. Everybody's not crazy like me. But I'm telling you, if you let something keep you out one Wednesday night, it won't be long. You'll be letting something else keep you out another Wednesday night and another Wednesday night and another Wednesday night and another Wednesday night and another Wednesday night. And you say, well, I missed him. It didn't hurt. And another one. And then it's going to be Sunday night. And then it's going to be Sunday morning. If parents don't go to church on Wednesday night, their kids won't go on Sunday night. And if parents don't go to church on Sunday night, their kids ain't going on Sunday morning. Every generation does a little bit less than its parents. Amen. It's bad when sinners come to church and look around and the Christians ain't there. That's bad. That is very bad. Thirdly, this morning, we need to start out in a new year right, giving to God's work. We need to give. Like you say, boy, you got mean since you're crippled. Well, I've had some time to sit around and think. Amen. I stayed home like three nights this week and about went crazy. We need to give to God's work. God's got this thing of giving fixed so that everybody gives the same amount. The rich, the poor, the middle class, everybody gives the same amount, God said. The tithe. The tithe is 10%. You can argue with me from daylight till dark. You can say, well, I tithe in other ways. You say, well, I help people on the side. That is not what God meant. Every week, the first day of the week, which is Sunday, we lay aside our gift, as God hath given us, prospered us. We lay it aside in these offering plates every Sunday morning. Do you understand that? And brother, I'm going to tell you something. By the way, while we're coming to church, all that time I talk about coming to church, you ought to learn how to act in church. You ought to learn how to make your kids act in church and behave in church and not jumping up and down and in and out and calling and writing notes and everything. Bus kids, you can expect it sometime, but not church kids. They need to be taught better at home. Amen? Listen, we need to give to God's work. We need to give to God's work. We need to give. It's a command not to leave it undone. We are commanded. It's not optional. A while ago, I give my tithes and my offerings, and I praise God for it. It made $100 this week, $10 belongs to God. If somebody gave you $50 for Christmas, $5 of it belongs to Jesus and His church. Amen? Not the poor family down the road, not the old lady that lives up the street, to the house of God, and the church distributes it. You ought to write that heck every Sunday morning and put it in there to support the work of God. Say amen right there. It's a command. It's a command. Not only that, it's a privilege that God would let us give. You say, Lord, have mercy, brother. You're shocking me this morning. I heard a story the other day. I read this in my Uncle John's bathroom book I got. I don't read in the bathroom. Read in bed. And it's bathroom reader, about that thick. And a story in there said this. Said, there's a woman come in one day. She out shopping, and her husband was he was standing about this far from kitchen stove, and there's a wire running from his belly over here to the stove, and he was just getting electrocuted. So she took a plank and whammed him with it real hard like that and just come across and hit him like that to try to break him away from that electric current. Well, there really wasn't nothing wrong with him. He was listening to his Walkman. And she broke his arm. You know, he was going to be like James Brown since he's gone. I was for that funeral yesterday. It was a cartoon, man. It was worse than a cartoon. But I knew what. Listen, that's what we, it has nothing to do with giving, I don't guess. But listen, I might hook you up this morning to the electrical current. It's our privilege. It's a duty. How can we neglect to give?
You say, well, church get on pretty good. I'll just not pay my tithes. The Lord understands. No, He don't. He understands you're stealing. You say, Brother Danny, I don't make much money. That might be why. God is able to bless your income if you'll give like you're supposed to. And don't you go out here and say, oh, that preacher's preaching on money. We've been here 6.5 years and I've preached one sermon on tithing. But I got one another coming pretty soon. But that's a shame. I apologize to y'all. I'm cheating you out of a blessing. I ought to preach on it more. I want to tell you something this morning. Brother, it's our duty. But let me say fourthly and last this morning, what about our personal lives? Our personal life. Brother Derek hit on it so good in Sunday school. It breaks my heart. Some of y'all wasn't here for Sunday school. You missed it. You missed something that might save you trouble this year. Listen, our prayer time. People used to pray. Do you know that? People used to pray. People used to get in a prayer closet. Women used to have secret sisters and all that stuff. That's good. Women used to have prayer partners. And when something would come up, they'd all get together and they'd pray. And they'd get together and say, pray for this and pray for my husband. Pray. I've seen the whole altar full of ladies praying for their husbands to be saved. People used to pray. Let's make up our mind in 2007 that we're going to get down to business and we're going to pray till we see God do something. Pray for our little revival in February. Pray for the youth rally in April. Pray for the camp meeting, youth camp, July 16th, I believe, this year. July 16th in Greenville, Tennessee. We got it booked. Thank God, brother. And nothing will happen if we don't pray. Listen, it's not by might, it's not by power, by my spirit. We can have all the talent in the world and it ain't gonna work. Our new building over there, you know what's going to get us in that building? We need to get on our knees and pray. Amen. Amen. Fellas, listen, if you don't even care about the building, you need to get your heart right with God. You ought to care about your church. You ought to care about our work. You ought to care about what God's given us here. And we'll find out some of you care real soon. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, brother. Our heart has got to be in the work of God in our personal lives. What the world give you ain't what you think you're getting. This fella read about, it's something else I read. Said this guy, he snuck out one night in a campground. Had all these RVs sitting out there. He snuck across there and had his hose and his 5-gallon can going to steal him some gas. Everybody here, you know, you've ciphered gas out of a vehicle. Anybody's ever done that, raise your hand. You're talking about you put the hose in there and you suck it, and if you don't suck it enough, it won't come out. You have to just keep, and finally some of it gets in your mouth. That's how you know you've about, you know, got it going. And then it'll run by itself. See, then it'll run by itself. And when you get it going, I do it, get water off the top of the swimming pool. And you suck it and suck it and suck it. And you get bug. I about drunk a ladybug last night. I can't get no water until Chris brings me some. So my water stayed there for 2 days. And I went, I cut a ladybug in. And them things stink bad. And he sucked. And somebody said, somebody's out there stealing gas. And they called the cops and went out there. And he was laying there. He was sick, turned green, sick dog sick. And he found out what some of you find out. He messed around there and stuck that thing in the wrong tank, got in the sewage. Surprise, surprise, surprise. And he's sicker than a dog, brother. Now see, that's what the world will do for you. That's what the world will do for you. You'll think you're getting something, but you ain't getting what you think you are. You ain't getting what you think you are. You think you're getting one thing, you really getting something else. What about your personal life? What about our witnessing? Is it time to quit the bus ministry? You say, boy, I'm going to get in the bus ministry. Good. We need probably at least 2 more men that would be willing to get your bus license. You say, I don't want to get up. Listen, driving once a month, for the Lord Jesus Christ. There ought to be 2 men in here saying, preacher, can I do it? Preacher, can I do it? I want a reward in heaven. I want God to bless me. And you men got driver's license? You want to help your personal life in 2007? Bring a bus. Bring some kids to church. You watch God pour out His blessings on your life. You know what you ought to do? We ought to be soul conscious.
I was thinking about being soul conscious. Another day I was somewhere in a hospital or somewhere, and I got on an elevator. And I didn't witness, and I felt bad about that. And I thought, there's people standing all around me, and I didn't witness to them. But when we see a person, we ought to say, there's a soul. Right? Like a deer hunter said, there's a deer. Every deer a deer hunter sees, something goes up into it. Wish I had my gun. Wish it was seasoned. You know, you just, now normal people that don't, you know, people that don't go deer hunting, we see a deer and we just say, well, there's a deer. But if you're a deer hunter, you say, stop the car. Get me that. You know, if you're a fisherman and you jump and you see a big old bass swimming by, so that's the way we ought to be about a soul. There goes a sinner. Well, like that woman. That woman came to this man. This woman came up to this man. She said, she walked up to him one day and she said, hi. He said, yes, how are you? She said, you look just like my third husband. He said, really? She said, yeah. He said, well, how many times have you been married? She said, two. That's the way we ought to be for ourselves. I recommend you somebody. Look at here. I was really going to have you under conviction. Now I've just ruined it. February 13th, 1889. I'm going to tell you this and I'm through. I'm numb from my knees down on my good leg. February 13th, 1889. Young man by the name of Eugene Sally. It was 22 below zero in northern Kentucky. 22 below. Man, they had some winters back then. It was before cars, and he got his friend, it's a brilliant young man, wanted to be a lawyer, and he told his friend, he said, let's go to church tonight. And the guy said, man, it's 22 degrees, ain't nobody going to be there. He said, let's go to church tonight. There ain't nothing else to do. You couldn't watch TV, wasn't no football games, you know, nothing like that. He said, let's go. So they went to church, and sure enough, it's 22 degrees, everybody sitting there, just a handful of people made it to the service. Dr. Cody, the pastor, got up and preached on Hebrews 11:24. And Hebrews 11:24 says, the title of his sermon was Moses' Wise Choice. Where it said Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And that night, God spoke to Eugene Sally's heart. God got a hold of him. Every word that preacher said just went bang, bang. And hit him right in the heart. And so he gave the invitation. Nothing happened and that boy left. And he thought, maybe God's calling me. I believe God might want me to be a missionary. And so he went home. And the next spring, he was out selling stuff, trying to work his way through college, go to law school. He's going to Georgetown College at that time. Brilliant young man. But the words of that preacher never let him go. And he got under conviction, rode his horse out into a field, off the horse, and got down and got right with God and surrendered to go to the mission field. Long story short, he spent 27 years evangelizing and planting churches in China. In China. And when he died, he said, for this end was I born, to preach the gospel in China. And it all happened, and hundreds and thousands of people went to heaven because that guy decided to go to church one Sunday night when the weather was bad and it was cold and there wasn't going to be hardly nobody there. I'm telling you, every time we open these doors, it falls. Now don't you dare think, well, Brother Danny, I'm sick and I can't miss and you're fussing at me. No, I'm not. If you're sick, I'm not even talking to you. Every time we're able to come to this church, you ought to come. I want to see the glory drop tonight at 12 o'clock. That's what I'm praying for. I want to see out the old year right. Start off the new year right tomorrow. Let's stand by our heads for prayer.